Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we've got a special show today. You get two trainers for the price of one. We've got internationally world-renowned dog trainer Martin Dealey on the show with us. He's got three books, hundreds of videos, and he's the founder of a very key organization for dog trainers and animal trainers out there. So, Martin Dealey, welcome to Smart Animal Talk. Welcome.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Deborah. Really is. Thank you for asking me.
Well, I've had you on before, and we do get lots and lots of questions. So I was wondering, would you mind answering some of our emailer questions?
Well, yes. And I'd love to tell your listeners a little bit about a new book that I brought out, too, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, well, let's go with that first, and then I'll tell you about Tessa and Mocha. And let's
okay.
see.
What happened?
Mr. Red, these are the dogs that are waiting for your advice. So
yeah.
Tell us about your books, Martin.
It's a true story. It's about a little dog which was found as a puppy in a baseball ground, goes home to live with this lady who adopts him. She adopts another puppy at the time, which creates quite a few problems. Two puppies means four times the trouble. She then goes through difficult times and separated from her puppies, and the puppies end up with the dog whisperer in California. And the story basically is how he rehabilitates them, but I tell it as though I'm the dog. So what I want to do is get people understanding about how dogs think, how they see the relationship with humans, how it's built, and how they can become naughty without knowing it, and get into trouble without realizing what they're doing. I really enjoyed it because I had to put myself into the kind of 4 feet of a dog and say to myself, well, now, how do they see things? How do they read us? And how do we read them? And where's the communication missing? So it was a fascinating thing to try and put together. And I think everybody tells me it's a wonderful book, and it's a very happy book with a very happy ending.
What's it called, Martin?
It's called Leo, the Amazing and Incredible Dog Star.
Nice.
If
anyone is
a fan of
Caesar,
they may have seen a poster of him with some dogs in an alleyway playing ball, and they're jumping as high as possible out of a kind of very big wet puddle. Well, Leo was one of those. He used to jump the highest.
And as I say, it's
a story about him. And how basically at the end he had a happy ending, going to live with the lady who originally adopted him.
You know, you've probably had this in your practice training dogs. I certainly have, where you have a dog that's afraid of something, and you have to try and figure out what is this dog afraid of. And sometimes I literally have to get on all fours and walk around and say, okay, well, what's hanging in my face? What's making noise? You know, what? And it can be hard to do that sometimes. But one thing I noticed is the overhead lighting. It just, because of the way the dog's heads are and the eyes on the top, it's just beating down on them all the time. And it made me realize why they so often will go under a table or in some place dark. Well, wouldn't you if that's where your eyes were and you're looking
that's
up
right.
at the light all the time?
Well, the thing is as well, you know, Deborah, that many times in trying to help the dog through it because we love him and we care for him, we even make it worse.
Yeah.
We encourage it almost by saying, it's okay. Don't worry about it, darling. And we sometimes actually are almost, if you like, rewarding the behavior that we don't want. And we don't see that. Sometimes it's better to just ignore it, sit with it, let the dog experience it, flood a little bit with it, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, one of the things which is fascinating, believe it or not, I have a life-size statue of Michael Jordan. I love basketball.
Okay.
And I have it in my garage where the dogs walk through into the dog room. Well, of course, you can imagine every time a dog walks past that and sees this 6'7" giant there in baseball outfits with a big baseball in his hand. Not baseball, basketball, sorry. I get this right in a minute, Michael Jordan basketball. But it's a full-size sculpting of him. And you can imagine the kind of way they get concerned, but walk past it twice.
Is he flying with his tongue out, leaning over in that position, scaring the heck out of them?
They just accept it. We just walk past it. We sometimes sit in front of it, and all of a sudden it means nothing to them. But at first they can be quite nervous about it, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes total sense. Okay, so timing. You kind of hit on that there. I see what you're talking about a lot when people have a pet who's afraid of something. And instead of, say the pet's afraid of stairs, this is a really easy one, all they got to do is sort of gently, forcefully escort the pet up the stairs a bunch of times and tell it how good it is. Or if it's really, really, really frightened, they might have to start a little slower with feeding it on the stairs and putting food up one step at a time. But what they don't want to do is cave in right in the middle of the fear and cuddle and coddle and say, oh, you're so afraid. Aren't you afraid? You're so afraid. And that's what I see them do. And they don't realize they're teaching this dog no other skill. It only knows one way to cope with stairs, and that's panic. And then they're praising it for panicking, right? So there's so many other ways to go about this. What would you do with the dog that's afraid of the stairs?
I would probably sit on it with them for a while. I would take them up one or two little steps, and I may let them just get down rather than actually go up. It depends where the fear is. Sometimes the fear is they're looking over an edge, and sometimes the fear is they're looking up and not quite sure how to handle it. So basically, I mean, I like to play with them on it and make sure that, of course, they're big enough to be able to handle the stairs. But I'm a toy boy rather than, if you like, a treat boy. And I tend to use toys and play with them and things of that nature. And I'll often find a shorter step as well. I'll take steps outside, which are just slightly smaller than the steps in the house. So it varies. You've got to desensitize them to it and make them confident in their own abilities. And that's the problem. Getting them to be confident in their abilities if you're not confident in being able to handle and help them. You know, that is sometimes the thing. I don't know. Many times, you know, dogs, even when we get upset with them, let's say they've done something in the garden, perhaps they've dug a hole, and you go out there and you say, what have you done out here? What do you think you're doing? They sometimes think we're playing with them. You know, it's very difficult at times to understand the communication between us and the dogs and what the results are coming out of it. And the most important thing is we want to build a relationship with our dog. You know, I'm always thinking to myself, I'm not a leader. I'm a partner. I'm a senior partner. I used to train dogs for the field, for hunting and so forth. And we worked together. Sometimes the dog knew better than I did, and sometimes I knew better than the dog did. I was the senior partner, and if there was a final decision, it was mine. But there's no doubt about it, that relationship that builds up because you read the dog, he tells you so many things. And when you go out and you see that they've done something a little naughty or something a little wrong or even something right, you've got to make sure that they understand that you're either pleased or displeased, and you've got to be able to show them so that they understand it correctly. And that body language, that kind of energy that you're giving across, that kind of communication is essential to get the right relationship with your dog. And anytime you're near,
treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're back with Martin Dealey, and he was talking about how if you've got a dog who's afraid of the stairs and you're getting all serious and stressed out, maybe it's time to play on the stairs. Okay, so Martin, continuing with that, we've got a dog named Tessa, and she's like a Heinz 57, they don't know what, they think maybe a Schnauzer, Poodle, they don't know, big dog, white dog. And it won't come at the dike, at the park where they walk at, the forests. And it'll come pretty well when it's got nothing better to do. So what should they do to get it to come, Martin?
you know, one of the things that always concerns me is that when people get puppies, they seem to be encouraging them to leave them. They always want them to kind of run away and to play. And then the next minute they're running away and playing and very confident out there and don't want to come back in again. You've got to make yourself very attractive. You know, the sun has got to shine out of every little part of you for that dog. Sometimes food helps, but what I find is that when they're younger, I like my hands to be friendly. I never use my hands for a correction in any way. I like my hands to be friendly. I sit on the floor. As a puppy, I get them coming into my body. When I go out with them, I'll put them on a leash or a long line, and I'll regularly call them back and reward them for doing so. So it becomes a habit. You know, every behavior that we want from a dog should become a good habit. Goes to meet someone, it sits and waits to be greeted. If someone rings the doorbell, yes, it barks, you say thank you very much, it stops barking. And it's really a habit, it's a behavior habit we're trying to build in, that we're trying to train in. So when a dog doesn't come, then many times what I'm looking at, if dogs come in here and they say, oh, he doesn't come when he's called, I'm working first with a long line. I'm working in a restricted area so the dog couldn't escape from me when I start to drop that long line. And I do it in small stages. So I'll do a long line, and then I might do a very lightweight long line, and then I might do a short line and let it drop. But I'm always putting myself in a position where the dog wants to come back to me, either to play with a toy or for food or simply because it's nice to come back to me. But you've got to be able to, if you like, reinforce that in some way. Because if there's a squirrel, or if there's a cat, or a car they want to chase, then you sometimes have to resort to something a little bit tougher than that. Because waving a hot dog doesn't do any good when there's a squirrel in front of them. So it's a variety.
Well, that's the thing, right? So what? That's the missing bit, right? At home, you want to get your dog to come for things he loves, like dinner and greetings, and when you get home from work and he's all excited to see you, say come anyway. Make it so happy. But how do they get that? So these people, they got Tessa. She'll come when called at home, when there's nothing better to do. Put her in the park, and there's a squirrel or another dog, and she's like, na, 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 na. So one of the things
you know,
I suggested
you know,
to
them it's all relative, isn't it? One of the things that I teach and work with is the electronic collar. And I use it in a very gentle way. I use it actually to what I call give a positive distraction. So, for example, the dog sees a squirrel, he thinks, oh, I'll chase that, and you tap him on the shoulder. And it's like someone coming to you now. You're listening to me, but tap me on the shoulder, and all of a sudden your mind goes into two places. The intensity drops. And all of a sudden, that kind of, if you like, that authoritative kind of way of going, hey, aha, come on, here, leave it, whatever you want to say, actually gets the dog's attention and makes them focus more on you and want to come back to you. You know, they're with some dogs now and again, to save their lives even, because if they run across a road, that's the worst thing that you want, or just disappear somewhere where it's dangerous. Well, we've got to make the coming back, if you like, more enjoyable than the being away. It's all relative. It's seen in that dog's mind. So With some dogs, when you first start off as puppies and build them up, you don't need to do that. But with many dogs, I find we've got to go through a situation where they say, I better go back because it really is going to be more uncomfortable out here if I don't.
So we got Tessa. We got her coming when called for things at home and things she loves. And then I imagine you told them to take the long rope to the park, right? To practice right where it's most tempting for her. And then praise her like mad, make it so in her interest to listen to you. One thing I think is really important is many, many dogs out there, they only hear the word come when the walk is over. So make sure you call her lots during the walk and release her again. So it's not always that the walk is over. Okay, so that was Tessa. Now we have Mocha. Now Mocha's an interesting case. Mocha was a very outgoing, leader of the pack, sort of a puppy, loved dog parks and doggy daycares and all this sort of stuff. And then one day there was some kind of incident at the doggy daycare where they used to send her. And they only heard after the fact. Mocha was labeled aggressive and it was supposed to be her fault, but then they heard rumors from other customers that actually Mocha was attacked. And the dog she was attacked by was Bouvier. Well, now Mocha, who's a medium-sized golden doodle, kind of not exactly built for fighting, now she's gotten a little aggressive, and she growls and snarls and kind of puts up a tough front and is very, very fearful whenever there's any dog that sort of looks like a Bouvier around. And so the people's question, their first question was, is it even possible that she's got a fear of one type of dog? And I would say, yes, it is. And then the other question is, okay, how do they get rid of this fear? And I think it's time for them to go on Facebook and find the Bouvier Lovers Club and go for a walk. What do you think, Martin?
Well, it's always got to be a gradual desensitization. You're quite right.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I always feel that obedience and creating the right relationship between the owner and the dog is the foundation for it. If a dog will have confidence in its owner, it begins to have confidence in itself. So, you know, many times when I've had dogs here where they are a little bit what you might call dog aggressive, and they go along and they see another dog and they look at me first and they kind of say, are you okay? Are you confident?
Mm-hmm.
Because their owners many times when they're walking them all of a sudden get fearful, get concerned, get worried. And it goes down the leash, and that's why the dog becomes a little bit, you know, aggressive. They create the wrong feeling, the wrong energies for the dog. When you've got a dog...
Well, yes, and that, you know what, Martin? That's why sometimes in a family, the dog will be very fearful when walked by one person and totally calm when walked by
another. Correct.
Same dog, right?
It's very correct. That's very, very true. I mean, I have a dog here at the moment, and they tell me, oh, he's a bit aggressive with people. And certainly with other dogs, he will lunge at them. Well, I've had him walking with other dogs, having him around other dogs. His tail is wagging and he's happy as the day is long. And I'm thinking, what do I do to make him do the things so I can show him he shouldn't do it?
I have that all the time.
You know what? It's not the dog,
it's the owner. I went to work with Tessa, this dog that I was just describing, and just like the car that won't act up when you take it to the mechanic. Tessa was coming great. Tessa was listening, coming, healing. Tessa had no problems. And the guy's totally embarrassed. He's like, well, I guess I'll have to have you back. You know, but so
for
Mocha, though, we started to tell them, you know, I joked about the Bouvier Club, but that would be a good place to start. And you start maybe 100 feet away from a Bouvier,
always.
Maybe 10 feet away. Maybe it depends on what Mocha can handle. You start where she can handle it. And then gradually work up. Make sure you pick a Bouvier who's a sweetheart, because we're trying to teach her that Bouviers are not trouble. It was just this one dog this one time, right?
Yeah. It's because the dog is going to read the other dog's body language, and the body language of that second dog, that Bouvier, is very, very important.
And anytime you're near,
treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
One of the things that I talk about in the book, Leo, is when he gets introduced to other dogs, how he reads their body language, how he reads the energy coming from them. Are they dogs to be concerned about? Are they dogs which are friendly? Are they dogs he can trust? Are there people that are with those dogs, people that, you know, again, are confident? And dogs look at this. They read body language, the finest little things. And certainly, yes, they can get breed aggressive. But you can overcome it, I think, by building that confidence, building that relationship, and a gradual, if you like, desensitization to the dogs, using the right dog to help him through it.
You know, what you just said about body language is so true. They're so much better at reading it than we are. And a really simple kind of illustration of this for people to think of is when I say goats or sheep, and I say a working dog, here comes the border collie herding the sheep, you immediately know what that dog looks like, how he walks, how he hunkers down, how he almost lies down in a certain way. Okay, this is all body language. He's speaking body language the sheep understand. Well, dogs understand dog body language, but they also understand human body language. And so if you think that you can trick your dog into thinking you're happy when you're really actually pissed off, you're going to have to up your acting skills for that come when called when you're late. And that's the thing. They're really, really good at this. Martin, do you think docking tails and cropping ears interferes with their ability? Because I think sometimes a sweet dog can send a wrong message just because it's missing some of its parts.
Do you know what? I haven't got hard and fast thoughts about it. Certainly with tails. One of the things that I found, I used to work a lot of spaniels, and we used to dock a third on the Springer Spaniel tails. And if you didn't do that, and they were hunting, and particularly in England where you have briars and, you know, really hard cover, they
brambles,
could bleed very, very badly. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I mean, I agreed with it over there. Sometimes I think that I'm not too sure why we crop or why we dock when the dogs aren't working dogs, because I love to see a wagging tail and I love to see floppy ears. So,
well,
you know,
I
I've
breed
got no
standard
hard
poodles,
feeling
and I
against
do.
It.
I breed standard poodles, and I don't dock their tails. Nowadays, almost any breed can be shown without docking and cropping, so there's really no need for it anymore.
So, well, there is if you've got a working dog.
Sure,
but
not for
where
pets.
I would say, you know, with working dogs, I've had too many dogs where they haven't been, if you like, the tails particularly docked. They are thin at the end. I mean, I've even had boxers who haven't had their tails done, and they bang it against the cupboards of the kitchen, and there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, sometimes
some dogs,
it's,
unfortunately,
it's true.
Got very, very thin skins at the end of their tails. It's just something which helps them, I think.
Well, okay, we do have another email, and this is a kind of unusual question. This is one that I don't usually get. My dog doesn't bark enough. My dog is 10 years old, and she's never barked. She would welcome a stranger in. She would let them rob us. I want to get another dog. Will my old dog teach my new dog not to bark? How do I teach my new dog to bark the right amount and not too much and not too little? So that, they don't say what kind of dog this is, but it's a 10-year-old female dog. That we know.
I love it because I have three dogs. One dog doesn't bark. One dog gives a couple of woofs, and the other one gives about 10 woofs. So, yes, I know the second dog will bark if it's in them and if they're allowed to. With my dogs, I'm not one that likes them barking a lot. I don't mind a woof, woof, thank you very much. Let me know someone's coming. And I always say, thank you very much, that's enough. And they stop. So you can teach a dog to bark, and you can teach a dog not to bark. And certainly they begin to know the difference as well. I'm sure if an intruder came in here at night, then they would bark a lot. If someone comes into my house during the daytime, they come up and they'll woof, and then they'll have a quick sniff around and say, oh, yes, you're okay. You know,
earlier you talked about how sometimes people's reaction misleads the dog. And this is one of those cases where I see a barkaholic dog. I go into the house and the dog is just, whoa, and right away a human starts yelling, shut up, stop it, quiet. And so the dog thinks, this is what we do here, right? This is how we greet people. We all yell, and it's not going to make him quiet.
Well, he thinks you're barking along with him.
Yeah, for real.
You know, I'm sure they think you're barking along with them. You know, one of the best things that you have got in your house is the leash for the dog. There's nothing wrong with putting a leash on the dog in the house. And then someone rings the doorbell, the dog barks, you have him on the leash, and you go, quiet, put him into a sit, and when he does, praise him, the person comes into the house, and you can go through a greeting procedure. You know, one of the things that you find is that in trying to train a dog, many times you want that little physical connection, but not you grabbing hold of their collar, grabbing hold of the skin around their neck, nothing like that, because many times you do it once, and you'll never catch them again. But if you can put a leash on them and show them what you want, show them what you accept. But some dogs, it's in their breeding that they are pure protection dogs. They will bark, and if you ask them not to, if you teach them not to, they'll stop as well. But if somebody came into the house and was an intruder, then they would definitely mean it, and you'd know the difference. There's a difference in barks as well. I know a difference with my dogs between a bark which says, there's somebody come into the door, we're just letting you know, and a bark which says there's something outside that we don't like and we don't know about, and we think you should actually come and take a little look at this.
We only have 30 seconds left, Martin, and I think this might be our last segment. It's very tough for me to tell with all the technical difficulties we've had today. But if people want to hear more from Martin, you can always send me a text or an email and ask me a question. I'll put it to martin@devwolf.net. Or you can contact the show. Or, Martin, where can they see you next?
Where can they see me?
Yes. See
well,
you
I
with a dog, maybe.
I
that would be good.
I live in Florida, my darling. I'm going to be at a conference. The International Association of Canine Professionals Conference is up in Alexandria in Carolina, North Carolina.
Oh,
I'm going to be up there giving a presentation with a lot of my colleagues, which should be fun.
You're going to see all my old friends from the Dog Writers Association, I bet.
International Association of Canine Professionals Conference. That's correct. If you go to canineprofessionals.com, it'll tell you about it there.
Well, Martin, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to talk more next time about how to teach a dog to bark. That's a new one for us.
Okay.
Okay. So take care and have a great trip up there.
FloridaDogTrainer.com. You'll see there how to get a copy of the book, Leo, the Amazing and Incredible Dog Star.
Okay.
And basically, I think, you know, it's for children, it's for young people, it's for grown-ups, to get them to understand a little bit more about the dog's way of thinking.
Well, I hope I can book you back to talk about the other book you wanted to talk about and also maybe answer some more dog problems. And maybe next time we won't have technical difficulties. It'll go a little smoother. Thank you so much, Martin. It's been great talking to you on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hello. You're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking with Eileen Garfinkel today. Eileen is able to read our animals, and I've sent her pictures ahead of time of some dogs and some cats, and we might get to that today and find out what they're thinking or feeling. Maybe they've got secrets to share with us. I just want to know how this works. I know sometimes, like I told you last week or 2 weeks ago, I got this animal that I found on the road, this dog that was loose. And I called the SPCA while my kids stood by, and we were waiting to hear back any information at all about him. And I said to my kids, I think this dog is named Bear. And the kids looked at me like, oh, come on, he doesn't look like a bear. And I said, I know, but I think his name is Bear. The lady comes back on the phone and says, well, the dog you have in your care is named Bear. So, yeah, maybe there is something to all this. I don't know. We're talking to a woman who could do much more than that. Eileen Garfinkel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's nice to have you. So what is this? I know animals, they know when there's a tsunami. They know when there's a storm. They've got psychic abilities I don't have. How do you tune into all that?
I believe we all have the ability to read energy. I think, you know, we have been society, parents, you know, the whole magazines, movies, has taught us to shut down. But you know, if you look at a child, if you look at a baby or a young child, you can see that they are picking up things that we no longer can pick up. So what I do is I get in touch with that that part of all of us that I like to say it's your authentic self. It hasn't been touched or harmed or made fun of or told to shut up, you know. It's that's the authentic part of us that all of us share in common. Some people call it the divine spirit or the energy within, or the soul, or the heart. So what I do is I get very quiet, and I find that place inside that can receive or feel all the vibrations, well, the energies that are all around us, and then I focus on that one particular energy of that animal who I'm trying to connect with, because we all are made up of swirling energy. We're just at different frequencies. It's like a radio station, FM, AM. If you tune into an FM station, you can't hear the AM station, but you can hear the FM station. So it's kind of like that. It's tuning in to the vibration of, I'm going to, go out on a limb and say mountains, trees, plants, animals. I've spoken to bees and ants, fish. I had a very wonderful fish friend once at one time.
Okay, bees and ants. Here's the thing I want to ask you.
Yeah.
People really, really are alarmed by this. But bees, for some weird reason, wasps, hornets, all of them, yellow jackets, but mostly bees, they land on me all the time. They come around me, they land on me, they're always around me, they're in my coffee, in my pot. Like, sometimes it's not cool. They're in my stuff, they're on my picnics, they're in my farm, they're
so
everywhere.
Interesting.
What is that? What is that? Is that a smell I have? My daughter will, like, run away from me. She's like, oh, no, Mommy, more bees.
But do they sting you, or they just
no.
land? They don't sting you.
No, sometimes they sting other people around me, which is I feel bad for, but only if I do something stupid, like actually step on one or drink one, because really, like, they're all over,
Wow.
I can't go outside without a couple. And there have been times where I've inadvertently turned over a nest and I got stung, but considering how often they're around me, like, I will, if I feel something touching my back, I won't just automatically swat it. I'll look first, because often it's one of these creatures.
Wow.
How do I tell them to stay away? Can I change my message if I'm...
I think that's a high honor, real honestly, that they land on you and they don't sting you, and they are around you. There's a vibration that's calling them to you. And I personally, as you're telling me the story, I'm feeling, oh, this is an honor. That's such a high honor from the insect world.
Really?
Okay. It's
other things too. It's squirrels will jump on me, hummingbirds will almost pester me to fill their feeders. Like, animals are very up close with me, even animals that shouldn't be. But the bee thing is, they do
communicate.
Are you getting pictures when you talk to insects? You getting
yes.
thought pictures?
When I talk, yes, I get thought pictures. I do.
Of what? Like, of flowers? Like, what are they thinking about?
Oh, well, it depends. I was reading a book, I guess it was like a year ago. I just had started it. It was called, Seeing the Infinite, I don't remember the name, but it was all about how we... as a society, are taught to hate insects. We kill them. We scream. We run away from them. And as I was reading this book, I was just opening up to the whole insect world. And I live in New York City. I live on the fifth floor. And I turn to my window, and on my window is a dragonfly.
Beautiful.
Yes, and I walked over and I said hello, and what I heard from this dragonfly was, thank you for listening to us. And then it flew away.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really so touching to me. It was so touching. So I would say to you about the bees, I mean, if you find it bothersome, you can actually just send out a message. Can you not come so often to me? Like, I wouldn't
I don't mind it. I've actually thought about maybe taking up, honey making or beekeeping as a hobby. It's my kids who don't really like it because,
Right. They're afraid.
Freaks them out. But, yeah. Okay, well, I got to work on their fear. I agree with you about the insect thing. Ladybugs we loved, but cockroaches we hated, right?
Right.
Earthworms
right.
were okay to stick on a hook. But
right.
if a kid ate one, you made fun of them for years. right? Yes. Like these, yes. these sort of strange exceptions, very, dragonflies and butterflies, well, they're okay. Fireflies, right. they're okay. But anything right. else that flies, not really.
Right.
You know, what, yeah. What's with that?
So often I've had a fly in my house, and I just, I say hi. You know, I had a fly live with me for 2 weeks, and when it was gone, I think it passed. I missed it because I would be in the bathroom getting ready for the day, and he would just fly in and sit on my mirror while I was, you know, putting makeup on. And I mean, he felt like a real companion to me, and I missed him when he was gone. There's a wonderful book that was written in, I think it was 1950. I hope I can remember, about this wonderful guy who began to take care of a dog that for his friend, and he opened up to this communication and had a great relationship with the dog.
Well, you know what, Eileen, we have to go to break. We'll be back right away to talk more with you because I want to hear about. Well, Jazz the cat is missing, so I want to know about that. There's no picture, but maybe you have a message. And Raz
sure.
the red poodle, does she want more litters? She just had a litter, and she's at the stage in her life where we can decide next year whether she's going to have more or whether this is her last. So we'll be back from break to find out what Eileen says Raz and Jazz are thinking on Smart Animal Talk. I'll pause Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know
I really do,
I really do.
And I do like that music, but I'm very interested in hearing what my animals think. So Eileen Garfunkel is with us, Garfinkel, from New York City. And far, far away, somehow, she can read Raspberry, the red poodle, the poodle mama. Does she want more litters, or has she had enough? What do you think?
Yeah.
Maybe it's too soon to ask her. It's like when you're still in the hospital with your first baby and everyone says, so,
like,
are you going to have a second?
I'll never have another one.
You look at them like, do I have three heads? Why are you asking me that? You know, come on now. Smart
right.
enough. It is a little soon. Maybe I should ask her later because she still hasn't.
Well, but she tells me that she likes giving birth. She feels very special. But she now that you tell me she has just given birth, because she tells me she's very tired.
Yes.
So,
well, they're nursing a lot. They're a month old now. They're beautiful. If anybody wants to see them, you can see them on our Facebook site, Camp Good Dog on Facebook. Oh, they're gorgeous. They're six red puppies, just like their mom. Yeah, but they're, you know, they're eating a lot and nursing a lot. She's eating a lot, which she normally doesn't have an appetite, but lately she is eating the strangest things, wood, dirt, I mean, anything, all kinds of odd things, and bananas are her absolute favorite right now. But does she want more litters or can't say yet?
Well, this is what she told me. She told me, she said she likes giving birth because she feels very special. She feels like a queen. But she's very tired. So, she says she's very tired. And let me just connect with her again for a moment. Yeah, she's really tired.
Okay. So maybe that's it for our raspberry. Okay. So Jasmine the cat, she's a silver gray cat. She was very, very fat. When the puppies were born, she kind of got very curious about them and was about a week or two later when they were moved into the barn, she got very curious about them and she sort of was around there a lot. And now we haven't seen her since. Is she around? Is she coming back? What's going on with Jasmine?
Okay. Lost animal cases are a real specialty because so many times an animal, if they're injured, it feels to the communicator, it feels to me as though they've left their body when actually they're just in shock. So, and also they move so quickly. But let me see if I can get a read on Jasmine. Yes, I feel like she's around. She's having adventures.
Is she? Oh, the little breath.
Yeah,
she kind of had a feeling because we keep finding these little dead mice and presents. She used to always give my other cats presents. So she's coming here in the night, giving us presents and taking. Oh no! How do we get her tame again? Any suggestions? Is she? Is she in the barn? Is she in the shed?
I see her. Well, I don't know where she's. I see her in tall. You have hay around? Is there hay around?
Yes, we do. Yes. All and right. That's where the mouse, it's near the chicken coop. That's where she is.
Okay, because I see her. I see her in a lot of hay. I see hay on her, and I see her around a lot of hay. She's having a great time, by the way.
Okay, the barn and the coop. And there's a lot more activity there with the puppies out there, so it kind of makes sense. Okay, well, I'll try and somehow, how can I get her in? How can I make her tame again and come back home?
Well, what I can do right now, and you can do this, is it's more important for you to do it, is to send your energy. I know that you know how to do this because you're so intuitive. As you talk, you're so intuitive. So send your energy out to her like a golden road. See, like a golden road from your heart right to her, and see her walking on that road right back into the house. So right back into your heart and into the house. She's coming back. I see. She's very mischievous. I see.
Well,
her.
We have these two male cats that aren't really our cats. Not my cat one and not my cat two. Reluctantly gave them names, Rain and Chow Mein, because they're always here. And they were fighting with each other, and I think that's part of the problem. She just didn't like the hassle.
There's also a cat, I don't know who it is, I don't know if that is missing her. There's a cat that misses her.
Yes, terribly. I believe that. Yes.
Okay. There's a cat that's really missing her.
Oh, well, thank you for telling me that. We're going to have to go out and look for her, me and the kids, and welcome her home and send out.
Yeah.
I do that visually. You know, when I want a cat to come, I'll picture the cat coming up to me. And most of the time it does. You know, they just need us. It's like they're sitting around waiting for us to say something.
Right, because they pick up our energy. You know, it's I was listening to your last guest, and oh my God, that's just the way it is. You can say what you want to the animal, and you could do what you want with the animal, but the animal picks up your energy behind your words and behind your actions. So you can never fool an animal, you know. So if you can draw her back to your home with this this calm. She's a really, I'm just getting such a kick out of her. She's a really funny, lively little cat.
She is. She went yeah. from skinny to fat in about 1 month. She just loves it here. She's been here a year. So I'm surprised at this all of a sudden absence, but she's always under my bed. Like, this is quite a departure for her. Wow. But these two boy cats were feuding, and I think it threw her off.
Yeah, it actually scared her a little bit.
Did it? Yeah, they wouldn't touch her, though. They're busy with each other. I wish people would neuter their cats before they release them to go live someplace like mine, because it seems like everything ends up here, whether I want it here or not.
That's right. That's like the bees. They keep coming to you.
Someone in the area is missing a short-tailed, gray, tiger-striped cat, it's here. Or if you're missing a male, very fancy Siamese blue-eyed cat with a black face, okay, it's here. You know, come on down. Get your male cats. Happy to see them leave, but I think I'm stuck with them for life.
That's fantastic.
They go through the cat doors. They come and eat at the cat feeder. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, would you come back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio? I'm going to try and get some of our listeners to send us their photos and questions for you.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love that.
Oh, right on. Well, thank you. This is Eileen Garfinkel, and she's calling from New York City. And if you want her to read your animals, maybe you got a question. Why is my dog unhappy? Why is my cat unhappy? Why are they happy? What makes them happy? What do they need? What do they want? She's your
gal. Why are they driving me crazy?
There you go. Okay, so you can send it to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Go to the All Paws Pet Talk Radio site. Or you can send it directly to me at debwolf.net, deb@debwolf.net. You can go to my site, debwolf.net, and see those puppies being born. Yes, you can. If you want to see a live birth, go there. All right, everybody. Thanks so much, Eileen. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Deb. It was wonderful.
Okay, until next time, everybody, be good to your animals on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime